we're in still in 2 Timothy 3, and we're still on the negative aspect of this thing, because this is something that the Apostle Paul wanted Timothy to get involved in pretty heavily again. And because what we're looking at here has been, and we've looked at several places in Scripture that has been talked about already, but we're still coming up with words negatively that people are involved in now. And we're in the fourth verse, and this goes from verse 1 through verse 9. And so I want to go back and read 3:1 down through 4 again, and we'll get started. But I wanted to do it again because the lead-in here is still an ongoing situation. And we're talking about last days or latter days. Sometimes it's mentioned latter, sometimes it's mentioned last, but we never know what the last day is as we look into Scripture. And as we go to study Scripture, it makes me think that, you know, we're not really sure as to how much time we got left. It's according to the Lord. And that's the reason he said, fear the Lord, because the Lord has our time situation already figured out, probably. So, here we are. And, this is going to be study 210. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we, went through 208, and if you figure out 52 weeks in a year, so that was 4 years that we've been in this thing plus 2 weeks now. This one will be the second.
Chip did advise me that you were off a little bit on your numbers.
Whatever.
Not a biggie.
But now it's, and of course it's been more than 4 years because we've missed a few.
You're not very far off though, and that's pretty amazing for as many studies as
you. Okay. Yeah. So, I'm going to go ahead and read 1 through 3 and or 1 through 4 as I normally do out of King James Version, because it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then here we go into the negative. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And then this starts our study for this time. It says traitors and heady. And nowhere else in Scripture is the word heady except right here.
Well, because that's describing today.
Okay. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And it goes on. But we'll start right here with our study today. And I will get into my notes. So we're talking here about last days. And we're talking about the character of the people in these last days and their heathen iniquities. It's not something they learn from God, but it's something they learn from the world. Yep. This all these things that were mentioned here so far are not things of God. They're from things of the world. And this is what the Apostle Paul is getting back to Timothy on, because he don't have in this epistle that he's writing here, this letter, he don't have far to go. He knows he's going to be gone. He's not going to be here anymore. And so here we are. And I put in my notes in verse 4, it says, continuing from verse 1. traitors. And the Greek word for that is produtes. And so that's the word out of the Greek for traitors. And so we're going to look at this, but I'll read it to you a little bit anyway. It says, here's your traitors that's mentioned here. And his name is Judas Iscariot. God said, I chose 12 of you and one of you is a traitor. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the word heady comes up here. And I looked it up. It's Strong's 1312. And it means to be headstrong. And it's used only here. And the Greek word for that is prop et ace. And it means falling forward rashly into something without thinking it through. So we can get involved in things that people use in everyday language, and sometimes it's such as you wouldn't realize it to be as bad as it is until, you know, you get to thinking about it, talking about it, or looking into it. As all these things foregone in verses 1 through 4, each of these things that's mentioned moves one away from the great love of God. It's something that takes you down the road a ways from the love that God has shown to us through His wisdom and through His love and understanding. And this is what Jack wanted us, this is another part that Jack wanted us to see. And then in verse 4, it's out of the Koine Greek. It's a little bit different, but basically is the same. And it says betrayers. And that's what a traitor is. He will betray you with enticing words. Headstrong, clouded with pride, okay? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that's pretty much the way it was brought down in the more modern English. Not anything that I see is different there. And Jack says in his Workman's Interlinear, he says, Asia turned away from Paul and his message. Asia didn't want to hear what Paul had to say or for Paul's witness. And Paul says, Demas forsook him and his Lord. And Paul and other ministers of the word have encountered many whose headstrong lives were in their ruin. And he says, and Jack says, pride and pleasure work together. They seem to mesh themselves in with these things to keep many from the truth of God's word. Okay, so we have the little list here, and they're not, it's not all that long that goes with this verse of scripture, but let's go and look at these things, because some of them have two different places you need to look at, and some of them just have one. But let's go back to Luke. We'll start with Luke, and we'll go all the way to 1 John. But there's not four, five, six places that we need to go to. So turn with me back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Okay. Let's see what I got here. In chapter 6 of Luke, we're going to look at wait a minute. We don't want to go to Luke yet. Keep your finger there. I need to go back to Proverbs and start, because we need to go back to the beginning of that. So let's go back to Proverbs, and then we'll come back through. I try to put them in order as I go, but they're not in order in Jack's book. So I want to go to Proverbs 10 and look at 11 through 14. Proverbs 10, and we'll be back close to there again, I think, in the next verse. Proverbs 10, 11 through 14, okay? And that's on page 877 if you have a companion Bible. 11 through 14 of chapter 10, it says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life." He says, "But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found." Full stop. "But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." I don't know why Ron is laughing, but I think I do. "Wise men lay up knowledge," and that's full stop again. Now that's truth. And but "the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." So yes, that is a lot of good words there, and I certainly didn't want to leave that. Okay, then I want to go to Proverbs 13. Okay, so that's where that other. I wondered why my other bookmark was in there. Proverbs 13. So there's two places here, and I want to look at chapter 13 in Proverbs, and look at 1 through 4 there, and that's on page 882. 13, 1 through 4, okay? And it goes on. It says, "A wise man heareth his father's instruction," full stop. "But a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth," full stop. "But the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life," full stop. "But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." It says, "The soul of a sluggard desireth and hath nothing," full stop. "But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." So you see the pros and the cons here of both these. He gives you one hand and then he gives you the other hand as far as these things go. So that's the way Proverbs went. Okay. Now look with me to Luke 16. Luke 16:12-16. Let me find it. I think I took my marker out of there a while ago. One page back. Luke 16. Yeah, we want to start. It don't seem like that was what I was going after. Let me look back over here. No, it's Luke 6. I'm sorry. I guess I was right to begin with. Luke 6, 12 through 16. Got it. And it says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night. Now this was Jesus in prayer to God. So all night he was in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew. Verse 15, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zeotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Okay. So that's what I wanted you to see there about the word traitor, where we started with in one of the places in today's study. Okay, then we want to go from Luke into Acts. In these two places, no, there's one place in Acts. Acts 7. In Acts 7, I got it, 51 through 54. On page 1594, if you have a companion Bible. Acts 7, 51 through 54. And it says this, ye stiff necks and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your father persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayer and murderers. Full stop. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And this is what Christ was telling them. Or, I guess this is what Luke was telling at that point. Because they were guilty of fulfilling the word of God in error. Then the next one is in 1 Timothy. Two places in 1 Timothy. I'll get it right in a minute. In 1 Timothy 3, in 1 Timothy 3, we're going to look at verses 2 through 6 on page 1802, if you have a companion Bible. And here, Timothy was left in Ephesus to fulfill the offices of a bishop. So it says, "The bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, nor covetous." And it said, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil." Okay, that's the first one. And then let's go to chapter 6. First Timothy. And we're going to look at verses 3 to 6 in chapter 6 on page 1806. And it says this, "If a man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil submissions." Verse 5, "Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt mind and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness," full stop, "from such withdraw thyself." That's not the only time that Paul tells those that follow his teachings and says, sometimes you just got to leave and go. Yeah. Verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." So, the right hand and the left hand still shows up in these teachings of Paul, one right after the other. Then the last one of these is in 1 John. And we get on back toward Revelations, but not quite. In 1 John 2. Is where we're going to go to. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. And that'll take care of that verse. 15 and 16. Well, I think it was supposed to be 13 through 16. Talking about, "They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are, blemishes sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart that they have exercised with covetous practices and cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with a man's voice, for forbade madness of the prophet. And so that's what we find in that particular verse of scripture. Now, let's go back to 2 Timothy and read the next verse, verse 5. And so Paul goes on to tell Timothy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So again, here's this thing about getting away from some of this stuff. It becomes a point sometimes when you're talking to somebody and they're not listening or won't listen, and it's better just to stop and look for someone that would listen. Okay. Having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It's not a very long verse of scripture. It says a form there. Having a form is metamorphosis. And that's the word, the Greek word meaning one thing that mimics another thing. Morphosis. As an appearance of godliness, having a form of godliness. So when you look at that and you realize the form there of godliness is, it can take many different turns and ways of looking at things. And certainly the Apostle Paul didn't want to mince words or mess being able to tell Timothy these things. The godliness there is such as religion and rituals, but denying the power thereof. And in talking about denying the power there, when I looked up power in Appendix 172-1 is dunamis. It is inherent power, or the power to reproduce itself. Full stop. Think about that. God can give out power, and he does, he has, and he does, and he will. And he always still has the same amount of power after he doles his power out. To all these prophets, he gave power. All these apostles, he gave power. All these people that had been called, he gave them power. And Paul got a lot of power. Amen. Peter got a lot of power. And we find out from Peter in Galatians that when the Lord was speaking to him before he went back into heaven, he says, stay here until the Comforter comes. And the Comforter was under the power of the Son of God at that time, and the power and the Holy Spirit is still that way. The Holy Spirit does not make of itself any reputation. But the reputation was brought along and paid for either by Christ Jesus or by Jesus Christ. Because it could be to either group or for either way in that situation. Okay? So, we've got those that tried to copy something that they had seen God's call to produce, but it never, ever stood the test. As the Pharisees wizard against Moses, they could kind of duplicate the power, but it didn't have the true power. It was a counterfeit situation. So Satan's cannot duplicate the power of God. It says, from such, turn away. So, you know, if you see it not working in someone, then you realize this maybe not be coming from God in that situation. Okay, so this one too, let's see what Jack says about it in verse 5. And there's not a whole lot of scripture that goes with this one either. And out of the Koine, it says this, having form of godliness, the but power of it denying. Wow. You see what it says? Having form of godliness, the but power of it denying. So the power didn't go along with godliness. It was not there. It says, and these turn away from. So, we read in John a while ago, you know, to turn away from these. Move on. Get away from this. But here, he says, the power will not be there. So you can know that in a kind of an immediate thing. So we're going to go from this one, and we're going to start in Romans 2. Yeah. And there's a couple of places there in Romans. But we'll go to Romans 2 with this one to begin with. So, after Acts, we get to Romans 2. Okay. In Romans 2, we're going to look at verses 17 through 21 on page 1666. 17 through 21. 17 says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and resistest in the law, and makest thou boast of God. Well, that kind of sums it up in a hurry. And knowest his will, and approvest these things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, does thou steal? So he makes a point there that you need to practice what you preach. I guess it's saying all that to say that part of that thing that we have understood from a youngster, probably, that we've heard that. Okay, then there's another one in Romans 16. We're going to look at Romans 16, and we're going to look at verse 17 and 18 of Romans 16, and we're going to look at 17 and 18. It says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple," of the ones that don't have all the learning or the wisdom to see through that. Okay. Okay, that's what we get out of Romans 2 and Romans 16. And we go from there to 2 Corinthians. First Corinthians 4. I'll get it right in a minute because I've got another verse here I want to read. 1 Corinthians 4:18-21 on page 1702. 1 Corinthians 4:18-21. Page 1702. "Now some are puffed up as though I would not come unto you, but I will come unto you shortly, if the Lord will and will know. Not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. What will ye, should I come unto you with a rod in love and in the spirit of meekness, with a rod in love and in the spirit of meekness." So, you know, if somebody comes at you with something to beat you with, you know it's not going to be a spirit of meekness. And so, that's what we have there in 1 Corinthians. I've got another in Corinthians, but this is for the next verse. And then 1 Timothy 6 again. 1 Timothy 6. We read 11 through a while ago, but let's look at this time, verse 20 and 21. And this is about the last thing he put in his first epistle. "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings in opposition of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." Because Timothy had not come to Paul at that time. And certainly that was something that Paul wanted to happen. Okay, so let's turn back to 2 Timothy 3 again and look at verse 6. Oh, I got time to do this. Okay. So verse 6 says this, and we're carrying on with this negative kind of a situation. And so we see what man is going to do, but I thought it was so neat the way that the Apostle Paul worded it in Scripture.
Always is, yeah.
It says this in 1 Timothy 3:6, For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Wow. Silly women, laden with sins. They have gone down the wrong road for a long time and still on it. You know, there was words there that could have been used otherwise, but this is what Paul wanted to see. For of, and this is a of there is a genitive case, out and means out from this sort. For of this sort, you need to be out from these. They are those which creep. That's an unusual word in Scripture, creep. And in the Greek, it is means en uno. And en uno means to clothe or to put on. Well, they're going to creep into houses with the idea to dress up. So evidently they're creeping in there to women that are undressed. Maybe in bed already, or maybe plying their trade, because he's talking about these men. It's going to cause these women to ply their trade that they're already involved in. And he could use a different word from silly women, but he didn't do that. Okay. So they crept in, you know, to clothe or to put on into houses to dress up and lead captive silly women. And that word in the Strong's is gunakeia ruin. And that's in the neutral sense, and it's a diminutive form of guni. And it's used as a term of contempt or unworthiness, laden with sorivo, to heap, and it's talking about the sins that these silly women had, and they're going to lead them away with the divers lust, or the divers tents, T-I-N-T-S in the Greek. So, talks about these men are going to go in, and they're going to go into these women's places where they live or stay, or maybe work, or ply their trade, if you want to use it for that. And they're going to dress them up, and they're going to take them out as a group, and they're going to go out and use their sins that they have been using themselves, and these men are going to make money from these women for their own purpose. Now that's how far down into the ditch, you know, we've gotten with all this stuff. With all these things that we listed out as we started tonight.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
And so let me go over a few of these things with him. And let's see what Jack said about it. Verse 6. Out of these, out of the Koine Greek, it said, out of these, for are those entering into houses and leading away captive, silly women, laden with sins, under the directions of lust of different tents. T-I-N-T-S. That's how it come out in the Greek. And I was about to wind up all this, and so I didn't really look at tents, but I think lust and tents come out about the same thing. It sounds like these shallow religions and so forth produce silly women who are easily corrupted and likely to corrupt others. Various lusts are their manipulators. They are laden with sin. Could this be referring to the fruits of venereal diseases? And it says, religion, and Jack says, religion is no buffer to the wiles of Satan. Amen. Right down his alley.
Amen.
It is. Okay. So let's look at these. We got about 8 or 9 minutes. We got about enough time to do these things. Let's look at Luke 4. Let's go back to Luke 4 for start with. Luke 4, 18-21. And I know one of those little notes that slipped, but I didn't know. So it went about two chapters. Luke 18-21. And it's on page, I'll have to go back another page. And it's on two different pages, actually. 14:42, 18-21. And it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." You have heard the fulfilling of the scripture here. That's
why they stopped early.
Stop there.
That's what blew their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's go from that to Romans 8. In Romans 8, we're going to look 11-14, and that's on page 1678. Romans 8, 11-14. Starting, if you have a companion Bible, start right at the top of the page. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God."
Amen.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 10. I know we'd get back to 2 Corinthians. Yep. there's where I wanted to go to one time, and I got a little in front of myself. We're going to look at verses 3 through 6 on page 1742. 10, 3 through 6 on page 1742. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay. We go from there to Galatians. Galatians 2, 4, and 5, page 1751. Galatians 2, 4, and 5. And that because of false brothers unawares brought in, who came in privy to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Okay, and then we want to go to Galatians 5. And look at 16 through 18 in Galatians 5. And that's on page 1757. 5, 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then we want to turn a page or two over to Galatians 5. Oh, that's what I just read. Okay. We want to go from there to Titus. After 2 Timothy, we want to go to Titus 3. I want to go to Titus 3 and look at 1 through 4 in Titus 3. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, and hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. He came and he appeared and he preached and he went back into heaven. Amen. 2 Peter. 2 See if we can get to 2 Peter 2. Verse got this to go. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. One's on one page and one's on another page. It's on page 1865, 1866. If you have a companion Bible, it says, "But they were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." So Peter says, yeah, it's still going to be bad. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the ways of truth shall be evil spoken." Things ain't changed. See, even in Peter's last days, there was some of his last days, and it was still like it is even today. So here we are. And I wanted to bring that to you because I thought about the silly women that he referred to. And I was in Ingles up here. They've got a bunch of big stores that belong to Mr. Ingles and my cousin, whom he married from North Carolina. And I seen something in that store that I had never seen before. But I had read about it and heard it being talked about. And these people marry women, evidently, that are in the trade or have been in the trade or would like to be in the trade, and they call them hot wives. And this woman was dressed in a little mini skirt of a thing, and she'd walk down the aisle, but he'd be at the other end of the aisle, and before she got to the end of that aisle, he would turn and go back up the other aisle. And he was watching her the whole time. And they were looking for somebody, I think, to come along and say something to her, because she'd go down those aisles and bend over and wouldn't leave too much to the imagination. And so I think they plied their trade that way. I had never seen that before in my lifetime. Not even when I lived 4 years in Atlanta, that. And you can see about anything and everything in Atlanta, Georgia. But I did not ever see that. And I guess if I had been there and been looking at it and my wife seen me looking at it, I would have probably been hit over the head with something that was close at hand, whether it be a jar of jelly or whatever it might have been. Because That would not have went over big. So, I don't know what happened. I didn't see the results of any of this, and I didn't care. But, you know, I saw it, and I said, gee, we've gotten down this far.
There ain't no telling.
And so I guess that's the way they were applying this same trade about these silly women. I don't know. But if it was, more grace to the words of the Apostle Paul, because he was doing what he was supposed to do. Amen. Thank you for being with me. And thank you for praying for me.